track 8, and we have 3 letters to the editor this week. 2 of them are from locals, and one of them is one of these letters that's been sent round to papers across a wide area from the RSPCA. And I'll just do the first paragraph of that in due course. But we start with the 2 local letters. The first is from Brian Thomas of Abbots Kurzweil, and Charmaine and I will share this between us. He writes, "It seems that Teignbridge Council is no longer fit for purpose. Its latest bungle involves the closure of the disabled toilets close to what was once a thriving market square in Newton Abbot, reduced on Saturday, October the 19th, to just 5 stalls. Even that was an improvement on Midsummer, when it often contained just 1 stall, or perhaps as many as 3. It was sad to see so many elderly people with walkers and wheelchairs looking to use this vital facility and finding it shut by a council that clearly no longer cares how much it inconveniences its citizens. Long gone are the days when this Newton Square was jam-packed with stalls and coaches in double figures bringing shoppers to the town from outlying areas such as Torquay, Tynmouth and the Moors, and with lavatory facilities. Now there's just a pie-in-the-sky project to, eventually, revamp the presently abandoned Market Hall with a grandiose but twee bar area leading to those hall traders who haven't already quit the town, being currently stuffed into the inadequate former post office building, and with access to the square limited by further local excavation works."
Which brings us to the Queen Street enhancement vanity project, unwanted by the majority, but pushed through because of the free money provided by the government. At least its main political architect has been rewarded for his determination with a seat in Parliament. A scheme that has seen the roadway virtually dug inside out will apparently not be enhanced with the much vaunted planting of environmentally sensitive trees, because the council now reports, as on Advertiser October the 3rd, that any foliage will have to be in planters, as hitherto unknown underground utilities have been discovered following the big dig. Is Teignbridge serious, declaring that these newly revealed servicing systems not listed on any historic plans were a mystery to the professional planners and architects of a district authority? Even a cursory glance at such an historic street with a wide range of shops and other businesses on each side should have given even lowliest employee with a smidgen of common sense the hint that there might be centuries of sensitive works deep under the tarmac. But par for the course for an authority bereft of purpose, generally and resolutely mirroring our present Parliament, which cannot make a decision without running it by the unelected and undemocratic World Economic Forum's autocratic playbook.
Justin Beaumont from Down St Mary in his letter writes that changes are overdue. Mel Stride, in the Advertiser on October the 17th, is critical of Labour's proposals on workers' rights. He states, "A recent report found that 75% of young people on zero-hours contracts and other similar arrangements were satisfied with their working conditions. Obviously, for some young people, particularly students, flexible working offers a useful way of providing an income before completing courses and finding permanent employment. However, Mel Stride does not quote a poll taken in August this year, which found that 84% of all zero-hours contract workers wanted regular hours of work. A further study found almost 3/4 of workers on zero-hours contracts are in severely insecure work and 94% don't have access to rights and regular income. Labour's Employment Rights Bill will ban exploitative zero-hours contracts whilst maintaining the possibility of working zero-hours contracts if the employee is happy with their contract. The bill will also give protection against unfair dismissal from day one and bans unscrupulous fire and rehire practices. These long overdue changes will potentially improve the lives of working people, both in central Devon and across the entire UK.
And finally, a national letter, I suspect, Steve Bennett, the RSPCA Chief Inspectorate Officer. I'll just read the first paragraph. Look after your animals in the dark. As the days draw in and the clocks go back, the darker evenings create more hazards on our roads for animals. Sadly, more animals are hit by cars during the winter months, so we're asking drivers to be cautious when they're out and about. And it goes on at some length about what to do if an animal is involved in a car accident or other forms of accidents on the roads. Large wild animals, such as deer, should not be approached. And that concludes the letters to the editor this week.